Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Inspiration Nation, your destination for inspiration, with your host, Teresa Morrow, the author's cheerleader. Inspiration Nation shares inspiration from the world of words and is the place where connection comes from life experience and personal stories. Inspiration Nation Radio is proud to bring you authors, writers, speakers, and leaders from different walks of life to empower and inspire you to live from your best self. Inspiration Nation, your destination for inspiration. And now, welcome to the show with your host, Teresa Morrow, the author's cheerleader.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Inspiration Nation. I am your host, Teresa Morrow, and with me today, I have Lauren Starr, who wrote a book called Your Power Pivot. Hi there.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing awesome.
So glad I could come on today.
Oh, it's so great to have you. For those of you who don't know, I was on Lauren's radio show about a year ago. We were talking about that a few minutes ago. And so I'm so excited to have you on my show and to talk about your brand new book. I really enjoyed reading it. It had so many good juicy tidbits in it, and we're going to be talking about some of that. One of the things I wanted to start with and ask you is the title. How did you come up with that, and what is the meaning behind that, so the listeners know?
Well, this book had several titles, and when I finished writing it, my coach, that I work with, said to me, "You know, what is the action that you're looking for?" And as I was playing around with that idea, I'm like, "The action is doing a pivot. It's changing what direction you're currently going in. It's taking accountability for your wins and your losses, and then making a conscious decision to address them and move forward." So that's, you know, the power pivot. You have the power to really take charge of your own life.
And
that's where the
about
title
shifting,
came from.
You talk about shifting perspective, too, which I think is a really powerful thing, too, to really, you know, like you say, you go in one direction, maybe it's not working, and so you shift it.
Absolutely. That's what a pivot is. If you're looking left and you pivot to the right, you see a whole new world. So it is. It's shifting that perspective. And then taking accountability. And, you know, the book, it was going to be a straight business book, but I don't do just business. You know, I'm about the whole person coming together. So it really is shifting that perspective in the paradigm of your work and life. So that you can be a thriver in both rather than just surviving. And I think a lot of women out there are in that survivor mode. If I could just survive until the kids get to college, then I'm going to do my dream job. And I think we need to pivot. Because there's no guarantees in life you're going to make it to see your kids go, you know, in college. You just don't know.
If we keep waiting, right, if we keep waiting and waiting for the other thing to happen or the next thing or, like you say, you know, the kids to get to college or for your spouse to get a better job or a different job or whatever, then, you know, you're waiting. Because one of the things that you share your key to happiness, and you say that is that you determined your past. And you help others do that as well. Can you share more about that? Give us a little bit of input on that.
Sure. So I think, look, life is messy, but it's how we approach that messiness, whether it's, you know, the junk in your trunk, the stuff that's holding you back, crappy things other people have done to you, if you deem and give them that power to continue to hold it over you, you get stuck there. You get stuck there. It's, you know, I love it when I hear my clients say, well, life's not fair. Well, too bad, it's not. It's not. Somebody's always going to have more than you. But it doesn't make them any more happier than you. And you're in charge of that. I mean, would I like a bigger house? I'd love a bigger house. However, I'm really thrilled with the house I have. I make it work. You know, would I like a fancier car? Sure. I mean, I drive a little Forester. Now, I bought the Forester, right? We look at my car, and I'm like, I bought this little Forester because at the time I wanted to save money and put it towards something else. But eventually I'd love my Mercedes or my Lexus or whatever have you. Rather than wallow in the fact that I have my Forester, I'm like, hey, you know what? We bought a Forester so that when my son turns 16, he has a safe car to drive. When he's, right? So rather than being bummed about it, I'm like, hey, this is great.
Right.
This is my son's car. Right? Mm-hmm. I can take garbage to the dump and not worry about it. It's all in your hands. Those that sit back and they boo-hoo, woe's me, you're in survivor, or even lower than that, you might be in victim mode. And to get out of that, no one's going to do it for you. You have to do it yourself, Therese. You have to.
Yeah. And I call that taking inspired action.
Yep. I love that.
Yeah. Taking inspired action. Because you were talking about, you know, not staying in that survival mode or that victim mode, just like you had said for you, you determined your path and you moved forward.
Determined my path. Hey, you know, I came from that traditionally dysfunctional family of the 60s and 70s. There was abuse there. I was sexually abused by my stepdad for years. I could have chosen to do drugs.
Yes.
I could have chosen an entirely different life. Instead, I decided at a young age, education was going to get me out of that. I made that decision. My parents couldn't afford to send me to college. I decided to work full-time. I decided to join the Army. I decided. Do you see how it's I took hold of my path and said, to hell with this.
Right. Well, I think
I'm in charge.
Right. I think sometimes with women and men, but a lot of times it's more with women, is that we don't realize we do get to choose.
Mm-hmm.
We do have a choice. We can stand in our power, and we can do what we need to do and thrive, like you talk about.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I loved in your book, it's the third chapter, I believe. Love the title of the third chapter. It is called Authentic You. It's one of the things I talk about in my work and in my books too, is that too many times we look outside ourselves, I think, to get that gratification or to get that notability of who we are, instead of looking inward to say and determine who we are and then showcase that, love it, and share it with the world.
Yeah. Absolutely. So often we don't even know what makes us happy. We don't know what our needs are, both at home or at work. We let others define what those needs are, so we're not authentic to ourselves. We hold ourselves back. We put that mask on and we walk out into the world, and here's that happy, happy mask when we're miserable inside because your needs aren't being met. Yeah, I love the authentic self.
That is so, yeah. I mean, and that's one of the things, I mean, just personally for me, with talk about a power pivot, that was huge for me. You know, when I went through that stage probably about 12 years ago and really realizing, oh, you know what? Because at that point I had been divorced twice. I just started possibly dating someone again. I was a single parent. Going through that stuff, and I kept feeling like no one, quote, loves me. And then I said, well, who's going to love me? And I said, wait a minute, Teresa, how about you start with you?
Yeah.
And that's when everything shifted for me. It was like, oh, well, let me see. Let me try that first, and then I'll worry about anybody else.
Excellent.
So I think that's huge for people. In the book too, you share about some misnomers about life and work strategies. Do you want to share some of those with the listeners?
Sure. You know, I think, you know, I state it in the book, experts have been touting this work-life balance for years, mm-hmm. and it's a misnomer. It's bull. There's no such thing mm-hmm. as work-life balance. There's not. In any given day, you are giving more to one or the other.
Yep.
And I think, you know, so we strive to have that harmony instead, where you're understanding and you're present in each place separate by itself. So I know when I'm working, I'm working. When I'm at home with my family, I'm at home with my family. I don't work on the weekends. Like, I have set parameters around to protect my family time, as well as set parameters around to protect my work time, so that I can be so much more focused in that time. I can be present in that time. I think we also have to look at, you know, where are the energy suckers, or I call them the cake eaters. Where are the cake eaters in your life, right? If you wake up every morning and you get one whole chocolate cake, I love chocolate cake, one whole chocolate cake, every day you get a brand new chocolate cake, again, take that accountability and go, hey, you get to give out slices of cake. You give out the slices. You either allow someone to steal it or you give it out freely. Where are you giving out those slices of cake? And in your life, who gives you slices of cake? Like, I go to the gym, I get a slice of cake. I hang out with my girlfriends, you know, at 5 o'clock at night. If we have girls' night, I get a slice of cake from my girlfriends. On the flip side, you know, the girlfriend that constantly, or the coworker that calls you and just dumps all their problems on you, you're giving them lots of cake. At the end of the day, or when you're with your family, how much cake do you have left? How much cake do you have left? Because you can't just go make another cake. Somebody has to give you slices. You know, and I encourage your listeners to draw a circle, make a cake, and figure out, track for 2 days, 3 days, where those slices are going. And they will be surprised at where they're giving away cake needlessly. They're gonna uncover who the cake suckers are. You know, who is stealing their cake? It could be a family member. Who's stealing that cake? And, you know, I have very empowered children because they will openly come right out and say, like, I'm not giving you any cake today. I'm like, nice. My daughter, last night, my daughter Lena and my husband got into a little bit of a little spat over folding laundry. And Lena marches upstairs and my husband yells up to her, Lena, come back downstairs. And she goes, Dad, I am not giving you cake right now. Bravo.
Yeah.
Good, bad, or, you know, whether she's right or she's wrong, bravo for seeing that, for her to continue arguing with my husband, her dad, it's going to take up more cake. She's like, I'm not giving you any more cake right now. And then she came down later and she was like, okay, now let's share a slice of cake, Dad. And, you know, and the two of them were like, all right, this is, you know, this is how we're going to do it from now on. Okay, great. Great. That's what we're talking about. Rather than engaging and wasting all that energy, it's better sometimes to avoid that conflict, to walk away from it and say, you know what, I'll address this later. I don't have enough cake for this.
Right now, yeah.
Right now, I don't have enough cake for this.
And then I like what you said, too, is that you said she came back and said, Dad, let's share a slice of cake. Now, that's very cool.
Very
that's
cool,
very
right? We talk in cake metaphors in my house. I know. I feel like, right? My husband's
no,
like, dear God. But, yeah, let's share a slice of cake. You know, and my husband at that point there, because, look, as parents, we're not infallible. We're not.
Right.
So as parents, it's very easy to get caught up in the emotional conflict, especially when your child of 11 is trying to be independent. Let's share a piece of cake.
Yeah, how about that, right?
Like, so that we can work through
this together. Yeah. Yes, together, exactly. And that
together,
was really cool,
you know, and then I looked at my husband and I went, so who's the parent in this situation? He's like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hey, they teach us sometimes, don't they?
They really do.
They teach us, yes. Happens to me all the time with my daughter.
All the time,
yes.
Right? I mean, her just saying to my husband, Dad, I'm not giving you any more cake, you know, made my husband stop and go, oh, crap. This is stupid. It's folding laundry.
Mm-hmm. How big is it? Right. How big is
how
it?
How
really?
Big is it? Mm-hmm. Is this worth the slice of cake?
Right.
In the grand scheme of life, it's really not.
Right.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And I think as women, we need to be able to teach our kids this. We need to. Mm-hmm. We really do.
Well, and I like what you said, too, about, you know, that balance, that it's kind of a fallacy that we, and I remember this too, because I would say 10, 12 years ago, I was, oh, you know, work-life balance.
Ugh.
And you stress yourself out so bad trying to be in balance with everything that you are almost more stressed of trying to balance it than just being in it and
mm-hmm.
trying to do each, like you said, to the best of your ability and setting parameters. You were more worried about how am I going to balance it? Oh, I'm not, you know, you stress yourself out about the trying to do it instead of just doing it.
Yeah, the whole work-life balance is an 80s phenomenon, right? Prior to the 80s, women, you know, even early 70s, we started it starting to kick in. We didn't have a lot of moms that were working. So dads went to work. Worked 8 to 10 hours a day, came home, dinner was on the table, the house was clean because mom was home.
Right.
Mom was home. As women entered into the workforce, more and more women, there was this, nobody's home to cook. Nobody's home to clean. Nobody's there to take care of it. So that's where this whole, we need to have balance. And I think women, as women, we put it on our shoulders that if we're paying 8 hours a day to work, we need to pay 8 hours a day to home. Well, if you're not getting in till 5 o'clock at night, and you're taking those 8 hours to the home life of cleaning and, you know, rushing home and making sure dinner's taken care of and making sure homework's and the kids are all set, right? There's not a lot of present time. There's a lot of busy time.
And
a lot, you know, just because your kitchen is a mess doesn't mean you're a bad parent.
Right, yeah. The other thing I want to, that made me think while you were talking about was, you know, we do put that on ourselves. Like you said, you know, women start working and they work 8 hours a day and then they're thinking, oh, I got to go home and I have to clean and I have to make dinner and I have to take care of the kids and I have to make sure they do the homework. One of the things that I also liked and that I wanted to bring up too is that why is it that women, and I think you addressed this in the book, too, about asking for help. You don't have to be the only person to do things.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to be the only person who does the laundry. You don't have to be the only person who cleans the dishes. You don't have to be the only person who makes dinner, right? We need to ask for help because it is not a bad thing.
It's not. It's an awesome thing. I don't do the laundry in my house. I'm like, I'm sorry.
Yep.
That's my husband's job.
Mm-hmm.
You take care of the laundry. I'll take care of vacuuming or the bathrooms.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. And now that the kids are older, you know, I mean, it's great. I'm like,
there
okay, the kids' bathroom, I don't touch it. I'm like, that's your bathroom. Here's your day. Make sure it's clean. It's a mommy's inspection. Gives them a little bit more responsibility.
Yes. My daughter does her own laundry.
Yeah. Nice. Nice. I take it that next step further where I reach out to the community. Every Monday night I am teaching. So I teach, I'm adjunct faculty for Granite State College. So I teach a class every Monday night, which is Mondays are a busy day in my house between baseball and lacrosse and Girl Scouts. I reach out to my community, to my other working moms, and I'm like, look, who can take my girls to lacrosse on Mondays?
There you go.
And I'll take your kids to lacrosse on Wednesdays because I'm around on Wednesdays.
Perfect.
See? I don't feel guilty about that.
No.
You know, I have
it's
one mom where,
too.
Yeah, right. I have one mom who works every day, and her daughter would be home alone after school. I'm like, have your daughter take the bus with Lena. She can come here. There's always somebody here. It's either me or it's my daycare provider.
Mm-hmm.
Send her here so she's not home alone.
Mm-hmm.
Well, great. You know, it's that, yeah, it's stockpiling. You know, it's creating a network of other women that I know in basketball
mm-hmm.
season that Amber's mom will take my girls to basketball every Tuesday night. Great.
Yeah. Yep.
It's that trade-off. It's that partnership.
Right. Again, that
you
power
know?
Pivot of saying, you know what, I'm so stressed out, I'm working so hard, I'm trying to
yeah.
keep everything together. You know what, how about if I see who, where I can get help from, and it's not that you, quote, can't do it all. You don't need to do it all. You're not supposed
you don't
to
need
have to,
do
it all. There's no, you know, so, yeah.
You don't need to. Look, we do have those martyr moms out there that feel that they have to do it all for their children.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be honest with you. I love when I see a martyr mom because I'm like, can you do it for my kids too then? I'm like, you're going to be here anyways. Will you take my kids and keep an eye on them? They're like, yeah, absolutely. It's that martyr mom syndrome. I'm like, great. Great. Let me know when I can help you out.
Right.
You know, these are the most trusting moms I know.
Right, there you go, right? They're like the champion, right, yeah.
They're the champion
that
I, yeah. I'm like, I know that if, you know, if I am out of town, I have other moms that can step in a given notice if somebody's sick, if somebody's, yeah. And when I'm in town, I'm one of those moms that I will drop whatever I need to. If you need me, I'm there.
Yeah.
Because
right.
they do the same for me.
It's that give and take. That's what it's about.
It is.
Before we go, we have a few more minutes, but I wanted to have you, is there any other takeaways from this book? There's so much good stuff in this book, you guys, I'm telling you. Really, really good stuff. Stuff we weren't even able to get to. But is there some takeaways that you want to share with the listeners? Because, like I said, we didn't get to so many goodies. So other things that
I
you want to share with them?
The book is really, it is. It's really jam-packed. There's a ton of content in, you know, 200 pages. There's not a lot of fluff to it. But
mm-hmm.
I think, you know, I like to think I wrote the book almost as if we're sitting across the table having a glass of wine. You know, the biggest takeaway that I want anyone that reads the book to grab onto is that they're in charge of their destiny. They're in charge of whether or not, you know, I talk about it in the beginning and it carries through the rest of the book. You have a choice. You can survive or you can thrive. It is your choice.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's tossing the junk in your trunk, whether it's defining the authentic you, getting fired with style, how to get fired and how to re-enter the workforce, it really is all in your ball court. And there's
right.
tools and tips in there to help you get through it, to make plans so that you're never in that let's put a fire out mode.
Not in desperation mode, right.
Right? Yes, when tragedy happens, desperation mode is okay.
Right.
But if you find yourself one day a week in desperation mode and it's not due to a tragic loss, then something's
mm-hmm.
not working in your life.
Mm.
You're allowing yourself to be a victim again and again and again. And that's a deeper look because we do know that there
yeah.
are some individuals out there that love the victim role. If you love being a victim, this is not the book for you.
There you go.
You're going to read the first chapter and be like, I'm done.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
You know, this is for the woman that's out there that's either in thriver mode and wants affirmation or validation or is in survivor mode, there's my dog, and is looking for a way, and my dog Loki agrees, and is looking for a way to get into that thriver mode.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're living longer. Retirement's not an option. It really isn't. We're finding more and more women entrepreneurs are starting their first business in their 60s.
Yes, I have seen
Very
it.
Very cool.
Months. Yes. Yes, awesome.
I'm like, that is so cool. I don't ever plan on quote-unquote retiring.
Right. I'd be too bored.
I would
really
be too bored. Yeah, I mean, I'd like to move to Tuscany and just write. That's not retirement.
Yes.
And
Correct.
Drink wine.
Yes. Yes. And volunteer more. You know, those types of things I think are great, you know, but,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, I'd be too bored to just, oh, no, I couldn't do it. But writing, oh, yes, that would be awesome.
Writing is right, exactly. The traditional generation, that's what they did. They worked until they were 65, and then they dropped dead. They retired, got their gold watch, and then they died. Not all of them. But, you know, that's what history has shown us.
Yeah.
That we all need to feel like we're productive members of society.
Mm-hmm. And don't wait. I think that was another big key that I think from your book was, like, take charge now. Like, don't wait. Like you said when we started, don't wait until the kids are grown up and out of the house. You don't need to. There's so many opportunities that we all can achieve. Take that inspired action and take the first step and then take the next step and keep going.
And just keep going. Because, if you wait until your kids are out of the house, or you land that next big promotion, you're missing everything that's in between.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're missing, you know, we know that the date of your birth is written in stone and the date of your death is written in stone. Everything else in between is that dash. And that's the stuff that matters.
Yeah. You just reminded me of when you said dash, you reminded me of this. Lady I'd love to have on the show too, but she wrote a book and wrote a poem called Live Your Dash. Just reminds me
of
that.
Oh, I like that.
I know, that's good, right?
Yeah.
Before we go, I wanted to be able to have you share with the listeners where they can find the book, where they can find out more about you, your website, your programs, all the goodies, so they know how to get in contact with you.
So you can go to Amazon.com. Best place to buy the book, Your Power Pivot. Book will pull right up. You can order the book right there. It comes both in Kindle version as well as paperback. And the audio version will be out in about 2 weeks. Yay. Yeah, I know. And then from there, if you want to reach out to me, go right ahead. Go to my website, lauranstar.com. That's LauranStar.com. And everything is right there. There's my Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn. Connect with me. Put me in, you know, put me in your corner. I actually have an app, the Lauranstar app. You can keep me on your phone. And then anytime there's a blog post or any new information out there, you'll get notified. More importantly, you'll have my contact information. So if you have any questions, issues, concerns, thoughts, share them. That's what makes women great.
Do you have any programs or events or anything that you want to share with the listeners?
You know what? I speak all over the place. The best way to see where I am is to get that app.
Okay.
Yep, I speak all over the place. I do have another book that will be launching hopefully September, October, called Pivotal Leadership. We're going to stay with that pivot. Verbiage, but that's not out for a while. And like I said, we've got the book right now, and that's keeping me plenty busy.
I'm sure.
Me plenty busy. Yeah.
That's awesome. Oh, I have been. It's been so great to have you on the show.
This is
awesome.
I
have just enjoyed it. I have just enjoyed it, and I hope that listeners, you know, go out and look at our website, get the book, get the app. I think that's awesome. I think you will be very happy with it. There's tons of goodies in there. And remember, everyone, to be the inspiration that you wish to see in the world. And again, Lorraine, I thank you so much for being on the show. And thank you, listeners, for being here with us today. Thank you guys so much, and I'll see you next week. Thank you, guys.